Okay, we're going to begin to talk about the life of the tzaddik. It's a whole book. It's hard to get this. It's a sefer of around 100 pages. Shvachos shel tzaddik, things that other tzaddikim from all different camps, all the machnas, have said about Rabbi Nachman, have written in the Sfarim about Rabbi Nachman, Chazanish, Rabbi Chaim Shmulevitz, all the Talmidei Baal Shem Tov, and to have a little bit of appreciation of how even those who were not from that world of the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh and the Talmidei Baal Shem saw a greatness that was unique in Rabbi Nachman. From all the Talmidei Baal Shem, they saw something unique in him and his writings. And if you have time, we'd go over a little bit of that, but it's not really for now. I want to talk about the tzaddik. As I told you, the most authentic way of discussing the life of Rabbi Nachman is, of course, through his Ish Neman. Neman Beisai was Rabbi Nosson. It would be very wrong for any of us to look into secondary sources written by professors who are always looking to come up with something new. And some new way of distorting the truth. And we have, Baruch Hashem, the Ksavim of Rabbi Nosson. And therefore, we're going to go through that, Bez Hashem. Now, the truth is that much of it is available. It's all available. A lot of it's in English. There was. I remember years ago. I had it. I don't know where it is, but there was. There was an English, I don't know if it was a translation or an abridged version of Yimei Maharan, of the life of Rabbi Nachman, that was written by Rabbi Ari Kaplan, translated by Rabbi Ari Kaplan. Rabbi Ari Kaplan, towards the end of his life, was working almost exclusively on Breslov Svarim. And he wrote he translated, I think, part of the diary of Rabbi Nachman that we're going to be doing. I don't know where it is, if it's still available. But if any of you if you're in the English Sfarim store, and you could ask if they have Rabbi Kaplan's biography or work on Rabbi Nachman's life, which also is very, very important. And we're not going to have time to go through Prate Pratim. As I told you at the beginning, that here we have a very big bracha, which is I think among all the tzaddikim, we don't have such a mazel that one of the Talmidim wrote down mamish an account that he saw with his own eyes, or that he heard from the mishpacha, and he spoke to the mishpacha. Rabbi Nosson spoke to the bnei mishpacha. He literally interviewed and researched the life of his rabbi, and we have, I wouldn't say day by day, but oftentimes it is day by day, but certainly month by month account of Rabbi Nachman's life. We could spend the entire year just doing that. There are a few hundred pages. And whenever we do this part of our learning, I'm always a little bit nervous because I'm anxious that we should learn this Svarim together. And I'm not a history teacher. I like to tell stories, but only in the context of what we're learning. So what we're going to do is we're going to at least begin. I decided this way. We'll begin and talk. We must talk about his yichus, who he was and where he came from, and the events that surrounded his birth that are extremely significant in understanding his Torahs. And it's impossible to budge. It's impossible to even begin Rabbi Nachman's Torah without having an appreciation and understanding of his beginnings. So we'll begin to talk about Rabbi Nachman's life today, and we'll do that maybe this week and next week, and then we'll make a little bit of a break to get ready for Chanukah, and we'll learn the first Torah in Likutei Maharan. Maybe next week we'll start the first Torah, Ashrei Tmimei Derech, that will begin and tie it into the Yom Tov of Chanukah, Mitzvah Hashem. It's all filled, even though he doesn't mention Chanukah, they're beferish, but it's all about Chayim. It's all about Chanukah. So we'll learn that first Torah, and then Bez Hashem, we'll come back to the, we'll return and talk more about Rabbi Nachman's life, and we'll switch a little bit back and forth, and hopefully over the next Zman, we'll get some of the major events of his life covered. Those of you who are fluent in Hebrew shouldn't have any problem obtaining and learning Rav Nosson's Ksavim. And as I said, even in English there are some things that are available, but we have to talk a little bit about it. Rabbi Nachman Rabbi Nachman was born Rosh Chodesh Nissan, Tov Kuf Lamed Beis, in the English calendar that was 1772. It was Shabbos Parshas Tezriah, Parshas Achodesh. Most people, when you ask them, they didn't hear of his father. His father was a tzaddik nister. He was a hidden tzaddik. And that's also very important to talk about a little bit. His father's name is Rabbi Simcha. And Rabbi Simcha was the son of a well-known tzaddik, one of the early Talmidim of the Baal Shem Tov, who was actually a Ben Bayis, who really was very, very makurv to the Baal Shem Tov, and the Baal Shem Tov would often send him on different shlichas to go and take care of all types of remarkable, amazing things. That's Rabbi Nachman Harudenker, who he's named after, was the father of Reb Simcha. Rabbi Nachman's mother was Mara Sfega, a big balas Ruach HaKadosh. We'll talk about her, some amazing things about Rabbi Nachman's mother. Now, Rabbi Nachman's mother, Fega, sometimes she's called Fegela, sometimes Fegela, depending on where you come from. Rabbi Nachman's mother was the daughter of Udel, who was the daughter of the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh. And also a Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh. We'll talk about her Midrashim also. Now, Rabbi Nachman's mother, Fega, was the sister. I know it sounds a little bit confusing, but really it's not. She was the sister, so Fega, Rabbi Nachman's mother, was the sister of the two exalted and great tzaddikim, the Deglmachne Ephraim, Moshe Chaim Ephraim from Sadelkov, who wrote the famous one, the earliest of the Svarim HaKadoshim from the Talmud Baal Shem, where we have first-hand Torahs from the Baal Shem Tov, a very important source of the Baal Shem Tov's Torahs, come from the Degel, the Deglmachne Ephraim. And the Deglmachne Ephraim's brother, Rabbi Baruch, also called Rabbi Baruch Meshbitz, that you all heard of, Rabbi Baruch from Meshbitz. These were Rabbi Nachman's uncles, who are going to have a very important part in his life, and very interesting, more so with the Rebbe of Baruch Meshbitz, a very important and interesting influence upon him. But these were his uncles. Now, there's a great significance to where Rabbi Nachman was born. Rabbi Nachman was actually born in the Baal Shem Tov's house. Now, the reason for that is because, and not only was he born in the Baal Shem Tov's house, but in the Baal Shem Tov's house, there was a room where the Baal Shem Tov was devoted for the Baal Shem Tov, where he would learn and daven, and locked in that room, and that's where Rabbi Nachman was born. The reason for this is that before the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh passed away, he gave as a Yerusha, he gave his home as a Yerusha, as an inheritance to his daughter Udel, because the Baal Shem Tov had a son. Now, normally, the way it was in those days, and we understand from the Torah, is that the Yerusha, the inheritance, would be given to the son. The Baal Shem Tov's son was Reb Tzvi. And Reb Tzvi was not a poor person. He was a Baal Nechosim. Reb Tzvi owned property and was actually in business. And he did not... Reb Tzvi himself, as I mentioned the last time, Reb Tzvi did not want to continue to conduct the Chassidim, to be a leader of the Chassidim, and he remained in business, and therefore the Baal Shem Tov of his two children, the Baal Shem Tov had two children, Reb Tzvi and Udel, his daughter. He gave the house as a Yerusha to Udel because Reb Tzvi was taken care of, and he gave to Udel. She later on gave this as a Yerusha to her daughter Fega. She did not give it to her sons, to the two tzaddikim, Reb Baruch Meshbitzer and the Deglmachne Ephraim, because at that time they were already well known leaders in the Olam HaChassidus. They were well known tzaddikim, and their kehilas and the communities were taking care of them. Even though the Deglmachne Ephraim did not actually conduct a chassidus, he was a rav, and in his kehila he was cared for, he was taken care of, and therefore the Baal Shem Tov's daughter Udel gave the house as in her Yerusha. She gave the house. Actually, she gave the house after the Chasna. She gave the house to her daughter Fega. and to her son-in-law Reb Simcha. Now there's a whole story about how Rabbi Nachum was born. You know, by some of the tzaddikim, we have amazing stories that surround the birth of the tzaddik, like by the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh. Here also there's an entire Ishtalshlus. There's a whole sequence of events, and I don't want anybody to become confused. It's a little bit sometimes with the names, but it's important to know. As I mentioned, the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh had a son and a daughter, Reb Tzvi and Udel. This Reb Tzvi, the Baal Shem Tov said about Reb Tzvi that he has a neshama gedarli, has a big neshama, and he doesn't need anything in this world. In other words, he doesn't need, the Baal Shem Tov already indicated that it was not going to be left to Reb Tzvi to conduct, you know, to lead the future of Chassidus. As far as Udel is concerned, what's interesting here is that the Chassidim report that Udel Kemat didn't leave her father's side. Wherever he went, he would take his daughter with him, and he held her in the highest regard. He said that her neshama came from the most exalted place of the Eitzer Neshamas Tahiris, that her soul descended from the highest level of neshamas that are possible. And he said that her name is found in the Torah, in the Pasuk at the end of Chumash, Miminai Eish Das Lamai, that from Hashem's right hand he gave the Jewish people his fiery Torah. Eish Das Lamai means Hashem's fiery Torah. Eish Das Lamai, the first three letters are Aleph, Dalet, Lamai, which spell Odl. Eish Das Lamai. And the Baal Shem Tov said that that's where Odl is found in Chumash, that she had a fiery Helige, a fiery and holy Neshama. And he was Machshev his daughter as one of his Talmidim, as a Talmida. He was machshev her. She was given over all of his Torahs. She would often sit on the side like this with a little separation when he was learning with the Talmidim, even the highest and most difficult Torahs. And he considered to be a very, very close disciple. This was something which at that time was not the usual way things were conducted. And this tzaddikus Udel was married to another tzaddik nister, who most of you probably didn't hear of. That would be a very good, I don't want to call it a trivial question, because there's nothing trivial in any of this. But if you would ask somebody, even among the chassidim, you know, who was the son-in-law of the Baal Shem Tov? Who was the son-in-law of the Baal Shem Tov? Who married Udel? It's generally not well known. His name was also Tzadik Nisti. You can imagine the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh wanted him as his son-in-law. His name is Rabbi Yechiel Ashkenazi, with a chassidim called the Deitchel. The Deitchel, we would say the Yekke, because he was from Germany. And he was called the Deitchel. And among the chassidim, he's called the Deitchel. And he was also a Tzadik Nista Ma'id, a very, very hidden Tzadik. We know hardly anything at all about Rabbi Yechiel Ashkenazi. That was the Baal Shem Tov's son-in-law. This was the couple Udel and Rabbi Yechiel Ashkenazi. The Deitchel had these famous children, Rabbi Baruch Meshbitzer, the Dagger Machan Ephraim, Rabbi Moshe Chaim Ephraim, and the mother Rabbi Nachman, Maris Feige. Put all of that on hold. That's the Baal Shem Tov's family. Aleph. Now let's go to another couple and talk about a different couple that's not related, that wasn't at that time related at all to the Baal Shem Tov. The Baal Shem Tov originally had a relatively small group of disciples. They wouldn't have imagined it unless with the Ruach HaKodesh that this was going to be any kind of a world movement. There was a small circle of Talmidim. And one of those Talmidim who I mentioned before was the Tzaddik Rabbi Nachman from Haradenke. This Rabbi Nachman Haradenke was Moser Mamish, Beleva Benefesh, was devoted to the Baal Shem Tov. And from all the Talmidim, the Baal Shem Tov was Mechaviv him, loved him very, very much. Now, once happened that a very choshev young woman, I don't want to put more names right now. She was assistant of Rabbi Yitzchak Dorobitsche. It's not important for right now. Rabbi Yitzchak Dorobitsche. But anyway, this Choshev young lady came to the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh to ask for a bracha for a shidduch. She came for a shidduch. And the Baal Shem Tov said, I have one of my closest Talmidim. That would be a perfect match for you. And that's Rabbi Nachman Horodenko. He didn't set them up on a date or anything like that. You know, the Baal Shem Tov sent her back to her place and asked for Rabbi Nachman, for his Talmud to come. And Rabbi Nachman said that I have the one that I want you to marry, this Sadekis, and that's all it took, and the Shidduch was taken care of immediately. And after the Shidduch was made, and they drank a L'chaim, so the Baal Shem Tov asked his Talmud Nachman, what are you going to give me for Shadchanis? I'm the Shadchan, and there's Shadchanis. You're supposed to give Shadchanis. I mean, you have to give Shadchanis. It's not like a nice thing. You have to give Shadchanis. So he didn't know what to say. You know, he didn't answer anything, Nachman. And the Baal Shem HaKadosh said an amazing thing. He said himself that when you'll have a son, and my daughter Udl will have a daughter, we'll make a shidduch. When you have a son from this, you'll marry this girl. When you'll have a son, and my Udl will have a daughter. We'll make a shidduch, and that will be the schar shadchanis. That's what I'm going to take for shadchanis. So Rabbi Nachman, when he heard this shadchanis, the charge, you know, the price, shadchanis, so you would think that would be gewaldig, no? I mean, on top of, this is a lucky day for him. It's a good day. He's having a good day. The Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh himself made the shidduch. And as shadchanis knows, what you owe me is I want your son for my granddaughter, right? Which the Baal Shem Tov said. So Rabbi Nachman didn't jump on that. Rabbi Nachman Horodenko said, he said, I'm a miyuchas to David HaMelech. I have a very big yichas. He says, I come from David HaMelech. It's not so posh. That's what he said. I have a yichas to David HaMelech. He had a direct yichas to Rashi, Rabbi Yechon, son of the whole family. He came directly from David HaMelech. And until that time, it wasn't really known about the Baal Shem Tov. This wasn't known. The Baal Shem Tov went to his room. He took out a ksav yichas. He had his own yichas. And he is a miyuchas to David HaMelech, of course. The Baal Shem Tov is also a miyuchas to David HaMelech. And then Rav Nachman Horodenko said, okay, then I'll pay. That's the shadchanis, then I'll pay. Like this, between David HaMelech's children, we can make a shidduch already. And that was something that was a condition in the shidduch, and the shidduch was made. And the chasen took place in a very wonderful way. And then a strange thing happened. I mean, all of these things surrounding Rabbi Nachman's coming into the world. Whenever a big, big neshama comes to the world, there are all kinds of kitrugim and sorrows. Doesn't come in such a pashut way. So what happened is that right after the chuppah, the chosm Rabbi Nachman disappeared. He was gone. The imams couldn't find him. And she waited a few days, the kala, and they couldn't find him. And she came to the Baal Shem Tov crying. And the Baal Shem Tov was very, very upset about this, you know. And the Baal Shem said, go to your house, and go to your place, and give me a few days. He had to conduct a search. But not by calling any police or by going on the internet, you understand? So the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh, after a few days, it was Nisvad Eloi, he found out with his Ruach HaKadosh, he found out exactly where Nachman Horodenko, the Chasam, was hiding. And he sent one of his Talmidim to go get him. And when he came in, the Baal Shem Tov had a very big hakpada, you understand? He was very upset. The Baal Shem Tov said, how did you leave your kala? What, a naguna? You left the kala right after the chuppah? What kind of a thing is this? What are you doing? So it's interesting, you know, there are some things that the Ruach HaKadosh opens up for the tzaddik, and other times that it doesn't open up for the tzaddik. So Rabbi Nachman Horodenko said that the reason that he ran away is because he saw that in his Ruach HaKodesh they're going to have a son, they'll have a child, and immediately after the child will be born, she has to die. His new wife will have to die. So he says, I can't bring myself to go live with her, because I know that living with her and having a child with her will mean her death. And I can't bring myself to do this. And that's why I ran away. So the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh called in his wife and explained exactly what her husband had seen in his Ruach HaKodesh, and he confirmed that if he saw it, that is true, and that immediately after you give birth you'll have a son, but then after you give birth you're going to have to die. And that's why he ran away, that's why he was trying to hide. He spoke to her privately, the Baal Shem Tov. And she said, if my husband, if Nachman is such a person, and he has such a Ruach HaKodesh, and that he saw that we're supposed to have a child together, then I mask him and that I want to have a child, and that I, and after the child, I'll leave the world. The Kachava, this is what happened. A short time after the Chasna, she was pregnant. B'shas Aleda, when she was having the baby, she started to scream. At the time of birth, she was screaming out to Rabbeinu Shlomo. It's brought down in the sefer from Rabbi Nosson. Al tikachayni mi'ha'olam at chodesh yamim. Please, Rabbeinu Shlomo, let me live a month. Let me at least live a month. Kadei she'u chaliras l'stashay ma'atim b'ni, that I should at least see my baby and play with him a little bit. That I should at least see the baby and have a little time with the baby. And she lived exactly a month after the baby was born. And on the 30th day she died. And her husband, Rabbi Nachman, was crying bitterly about that. Rabbi Nachman, Harodenka, said that it was an Eis Ratzon, and he said that she shouldn't have said a month. She could have asked at that moment. There was such an Eis Ratzon, there was such an unbelievable time of an opening in Shemayim when the baby was born, that she could have asked for a regular for a life. He wasn't able to say this. She had to ask for this on her own, and she only asked for a month. And he said if she would have screamed out and asked to live a normal life, she would have been allowed to live. As it was, she died after a month. So now we have a sad situation. Now we're going to come back. Now how does all this get back to the Baal Shem Tov's family? Because right now we're talking about Rabbi Nachman Harodenk and his wife, the sister of Yitzhak Rabbitcher, and they have this baby. And what happened was, is that now we have Rabbi Nachman Harodenk and his child, whose name is Simcha. And he's trying to take care of his baby by himself. Only a person who's had to do that could know how horrible a situation that is. And he didn't have, Rabbi Nachman Harodenka didn't have family. That's why it's, even from the sources, it's hard to understand, even in his own shidduch. In those days, usually they didn't make their own shidduchim. We don't see the father being part of the Lechaim or anything. It's just the Baal Shem Tov made the shidduch with Rabbi Nachman Harodenka. Where's the father? I don't know. But at any rate, it seems that he was entirely by himself in the world, this Nachman Harodenka. Now he had a little baby. The Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh also needed, as we said before, he used to use Rabbi Nachman as a shliach for many important and mysterious missions. And it was becoming impossible to take care of the baby and to schlep the baby. So what happened was that the Baal Shem Tov said, take Simcha, take the baby, to my daughter, Udl, and she'll take care of him. Of course, you'll be here, you'll come, and back and forth, but she'll help. She'll be the mother. And this is what happened. So Simcha was really brought up by the Baal Shem Tov's daughter, Udl. One time, the Baal Shem Tov was visiting Udl, And he went, the Baal Shem Tov went to play a little bit with the baby with Simcha. And he says, Das Ingel gefällt mir, is that this child is Meitzachain Beinai. So I like this kid. He's Meitzachain Beinai. The child has Chain. He's Bachaint in my eyes. So she didn't, the Baal Shem Tov didn't usually talk about these kind of things. But she said that she took note of those words and she remembered that the Baal Shem Tov said that the Baal Shem Tov said that when Simcha was 10 years old, and the Baal Shem Tov was very drawn to this baby, to Simcha. When Simcha was 10 years old, being raised in Odal's house, in the Baal Shem Tov's daughter's house, the Baal Shem Tov was nifted, the Baal Shem Tov passed away. And she continued to raise him. Now things are getting interesting because the wheels are starting to turn towards the shidduch, right? Remember that the Baal Shem Tov asked for Shadchanis, that Rabbi Nachman Haradenka's son, that Simcha, would marry the daughter of Udl. Now let's talk for a couple of minutes about Rabbi Nachman Haradenka, but Rabbi Nachman's grandfather. Rabbi Nachman Haradenka was burning with a tshuka, with a longing to go to move to Eretz Yisrael. And many times he came and asked the Baal Shem Tov Rishus. He asked permission from the Baal Shem Tov. And the Baal Shem Tov always put him off and didn't answer or said it's not a good time. And this went on for quite a few years. Finally, one time it happened that Imamish, he felt that he couldn't live anymore outside of Eretz Yisrael. And he came crying to the Baal Shem Tov to please let him go to Eretz Yisrael. And the Baal Shem Tov said, we can't even talk about it till you go to the mikveh. So Nachman heard then going to the mikveh and he came back. And then the Baal Shem Tov told him, the Baal Shem Tov asked him, you were Teufel, you went to the mikveh? He said, I went to the mikveh. What did you see when you first went into the water? The first tevila, when you went down the first time under the water, what did you see? He said, I saw Eretz Yisrael. And what did you see by the second tevila, when you went down the second time? He said, I saw Yerushalayim. And what did you see by the third tevila? So, maybe you should open your eyes under the mikveh. You don't open the eyes under the mikveh. What do you see by the third tevila? He said, I saw the Mokim HaMikdash, I saw the Beis HaMikdash by the third tevila. And what did you see by the fourth tevila? He said, I saw the Kodesh HaKadoshim, I saw the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the Holy of Holies. Then he said, but the Oren HaKadosh, the Oren, I didn't see. I saw the Kodesh HaKadoshim, but I didn't see the Ark of Hashem. I guess it was like in the second Beis HaMikdash, right? I didn't see the Oren. There are different Minhagim about how many times to be Tevil. So it seems from this story that his minhag was the Tevil four times. He said, on the fourth time, I saw Eretz Yisrael, I saw Yerushalayim, I saw the Mokim HaMikdash, I saw the Kodesh Kadoshim, but I didn't see the Aron. So the Baal Shem Tov told him, you didn't see the Aron because the Aron is in Mezhbiz. It's not in Yerushalayim. The Aron HaKodesh, the Holy Ark, is in Mezhbiz, is here, in this town. So Rabbi Nachman Haradenka understood that he still wasn't getting the green light, and the Baal Shem Tov was not allowing him at that point to go. And he decided that he would stay and be by the Baal Shem Tov's side, and that's what the Baal Shem Tov wanted. After the Baal Shem Tov was nifta, and he remained with him throughout his life until the Baal Shem Tov was nifta, as I said, when Simcha was 10 years old. After the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh was nifta, Rabbi Nachman Haradenka still hardly left his side. He spent hours and hours, days and nights, he would stay by the Baal Shem Tov's grave. I'm not getting to the halachic inyan of, he was a big Talmid Chacham, a big tzaddik, and as you know, there are different ways of how one speaks in the cemetery. Through the mason, to the mason, there are certain delicate inyanim and halacha, which of course, I'm sure everything was done properly. But he used to speak. He used to speak to the Baal Shem Tov even after he was Nifter. He would speak there by the grave and he would ask questions of the Baal Shem Tov. And he would begin, each time that he came, he would say, Shalom Aleichem, Rabbi Yomari. He would say, Shalom Aleichem, to his Rabbi when he would come to the Tzion, to Baal Shem Tov's grave. And the first thing he would always ask was, can I go to Eretz Yisrael? Tzachmanis. Can I go to Eretz Yisrael? And this time it was Mezgalta, and he fell asleep on the Tzion, the Baal Shem Tov's grave, asking this and crying, and he fell asleep. And the Baal Shem Tov revealed to him during his sleep that the time had come for him to go to Eretz Yisrael, and he jumped up, and he went running back into town, and he said, I'm going to Eretz Yisrael, and he left immediately. Those who have been in the cemetery in Tveria, which he was zeichet to be, some of the chaverim who have been to the chelik of the Talmidei Baal Shem Tov in the cemetery in Tveria, that's where Rabbi Nachman Harudenka is buried, in Tveria. So there's a whole part of that world that picked up and moved to Eretz Yisrael, which you could see in the cemetery in Tveria, in the cemetery in Sfas, also with Rabbi Nachman's family. We'll talk about that mitzvah Hashem later. The child Simcha reaches the age of bar mitzvah, which in those days meant that it was time to start to talk about a chasana. And Udal's daughter, Fega, had reached the time that she could be married. It was around that age also. And the tzaddikus, Udal Baal Shem Tov's daughter, remembered what her father had said about Simcha, that the child is Maitzachain Beinav, that he likes the child. She understood that was a simon that was being given to her. And she made up her mind that the shidduch was going to be made. And that was the shidduch between the Baal Shem Tov's granddaughter, Fega, and Simcha, the son of Rabbi Nachman Harudenka. So that's how the Shadchanis was paid and the Chasna was made. So now we have the Baal Shem Tov's granddaughter Fega and Rabbi Nachman Harudenka's son Simcha. After they were married, they didn't have children for a while. Fega also was accustomed to spending a great amount of time by her grandfather's tzion, by the grandfather's grave. And she spent a great deal of time davening that there would be zeichah for children. And she had her first son, and she named the son Yisrael, who was named after the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh. It happened that while he was still a baby, he was very sick and was on the verge of death. And Fega, the mother, took Yisrael. At this point, she didn't know what to do. All the doctors had given up hope. She took the baby and brought him, Yisrael, to the tzion, to the grave of the Baal Shem Tov. She was crying there very much. Zaidi, Zaidi, this is my only child. And this came because of my davening. And you helped with this. So have rachmanis. There are some versions, in some versions it says, of the story that at that point the baby had already died. I don't know if that's true or not. There are some that say he just was on the verge of death. And others say that he already died. That would obviously make it a much more interesting story. But at any rate, he was either dead or near dead. And she just said, I can't, nobody can help anymore. And she put the baby on the tzion of the Baal Shem Tov by the grave. And she left. And she went back home. It says in the Sefer, she went back with a feeling of hope, of emuna, that the child will be revived or brought back from the dead, whatever the case was. And there was somebody that went sometime after that to say some tehillim in the Beis Olam and heard a baby crying and saw that it was the baby that was on the grave of the Baal Shem Tov and went running to the Baal Shem Tov's house with the baby. And the baby was okay, but that night, it was a whole big nace, and they made a suda. That night, the Baal Shem Tov came in a dream to Fega in her sleep, the grandfather came and said, "You don't know what kind of problems you caused for me by making such a commotion about that baby. I had to spend a great deal of time and use a lot of kaiches to search among all the neshamas to be able to bring back the neshama of your son until I found the neshama and was able to reconnect the neshama with the child, with the Yisrael." The next morning, the baby's face was entirely a different face. Didn't look any more like the same baby, and was very sick for a short amount of time. In town, the baby was called Yisrael the Taita, Yisrael the Dead One. It's not such a nice nickname, but that's what they called him. And he lived for a few years when he was a little boy. At some point, there's a maybe, it doesn't even say he reached Bar Mitzvah, but as a young boy, the Yisrael the Taita passed away. He died. Then there were two other sons. Now this, we'll come back and talk about them a different time. Now Reb Simcha, her husband, as I said, was a tzaddik nistu, was a very, very unbelievable Eved Hashem. And now here we're getting directly to the immediate event that led to the birth of Rabbi Nachman, who was next on line with the children. It seems that none of them are Maruch Yamim. They didn't live to an old age, the children. Rabbi Nachman, as you know, died also, was only 38 years old. So Reb Simcha was, as I said, a tzaddik ganus, and oftentimes he would disappear for a few days. He was secluded. Nobody knew where he was. He was doing his thing. And Avodas Hashem. And Rabbi Nachman inherited the love for his baridus from his father, to be alone and to be secluded and to serve Hashem in a very secret and mysterious way. It once happened that he was gone for longer than usual, for a couple of weeks. You know, there was no cell phone or, what's it called, text messages or something like that. There was no way, or email, and he was gone. And it was time for his wife, it was time for Fega to go to the mikveh. That Friday night was Leil Tefillah. I mean, Akedei Kach, we have that the stories were told in the Mishpacha. It's amazing. And she was very distraught. The fact that her husband had, she was used to his disappearances, and she knew that this was his way. But to come back for Shabbos, and to come back, it was the time for her to go to the mikveh, and she wanted desperately to have a child, and so on. So that was already Friday morning, and when she was kneading the challah, so she was mamish crying about this inyan and begging that he should come home for Shabbos. But even though she was known, Fega was known as a big balas ruach hakodesh, she didn't see where he was, or she had no way of finding out, and she had terrible agmas nefesh. Now, what happened was, when it came time for candle lighting, they used to light candles a long time before Tzeis Chavim back then. A long time. It was very early. When it came time, after she lit candles, she went to the scene of the Baal Shem Tov. She went to the grave of her grandfather, Baal Shem Tov, and she cried there for a long time. And she had a gilui of the Baal Shem Tov there. And the Baal Shem Tov said, "He's going to return, he's coming back, and you can go to the mikveh. He's already in the Tchum Shabbos. He's already in the Tchum, in the 2000 Amos. He's already in town, someplace, right on the outskirts of town. And you can go to the mikveh." And what happened was, he showed up, Reb Simcha showed up in Shul, and he was there for davening. And he davened for a great part of the night, with an unbelievable dveikas, and they had the suda together, and also the suda was with dveikas, the kiddush, the kinds of amazing things, and that night, that's what she said, is that that's when she conceived Rabbi Nachman Breslov, on that night. Now that we have such a personal, intimate report of Rabbi Nachman's beginnings, this is something which is, I think, is not known by any other tzaddik, such a thing, arke dekach, prote prote, that it was a leil ha'tfila. So I was thinking about this, you know, it's quite an amazing thing. And anybody who's ever learned Rabbi Nachman's Torahs, you've touched Rabbi Nachman's Torahs, and the Sichas Aran, the whole Indian of Rabbi Nachman was gaguim, was just longing, an unbelievable longing for Hashem's Baruch. And anybody who learns his Torahs is filled with such gaguim, for such an unbelievable amount of gaguim. And that joy that a Jew has after longing for Hashem and crying and calling out for Hashem, that there should be that renewed closeness. That Rabbi Nachman came to the world in such a way where her husband was gone, and she was crying for him, and it was time for them to be together, and it was Shabbos, and all of that means, and again, on their level, was completely, it was the most holy thing, and L'shem Shemayim was Kutchevichu Shchintei Mamish. And that's how Rabbi Nachman came into the world. Rabbi Nachman came into the guf, into the physical world, through crying and begging and longing and not knowing what's going to be, and where is my husband? Is he ever going to return to me? Like the Jewish people are crying out for the Shechina, they're crying out for Hashem Yisbarach. When is the Shechina going to return to us? And the Shechina returning after a time of not being together, and the neshama was conceived after Leil Shabbos, and the whole inyan of Simcha, of the father of Simcha, that he obviously was making hachanas to bring into the world this neshama. He was preparing to bring somehow with his avodah during those weeks that he was away. All of his avodah was to bring the neshama of Rabbi Nachman Breslov into the world. And that's how Rabbi Nachman came to the world. During the time of her pregnancy, and we'll have to end in a minute, during the time of her pregnancy, with the exception of just a couple of hours to sleep at night, Fagus spent almost all of the time by the tzion, by the grave of the Baal Shem Tov, of her grandfather, crying and davening over there. There was this awareness that the couple had, that Simcha had and Fagus had, that this was something, that there was a baby here that was supposed to change the entire universe. And she would say in the years later, she would often tell that during the time of her pregnancy, she had giluyim, she had ha'aris, things that were revealed to her when she was by the grave of the Baal Shem Tov. That she said it's impossible for her to tell to anybody in the world, but she knew that this child was a child that would change the entire world, and who was going to illuminate and bring light to the entire world. And that brings us up to where we began tonight, Ches Nisan, Shabbos Kodesh, Pashas Tazri Mitzora, which was Rosh Chodesh Nisan. The Bris was on Shabbos, which was Shabbos HaGadol. That was the Bris, and he was given the name of his grandfather, Rabbi Nachman Haradenker. This name, Rabbi Nachman Haradenker. And this brings us back to the very, very beginning of what we spoke about when we started this year. When the name was given, Rabbi Baruch Meshbitzer called out, Zeyi Nachameinu, Imaaseinu, Umi Itzvan Yedeinu, Min Hadoma Asher Erora Hashem. Which is, as you recall, those who were here from the first year, that's what we began with, explaining that Rabbi Nachman's name is Zeyi Nachameinu. This one is going to bring us comfort. This one is going to bring us chizik. This one is going to teach us how to do tshuva. Remember, Vayenochem means to do tshuva. He's going to teach us how to do tshuva, but in a way that's not with, God forbid, depression or sadness, but in a way that is filled with simcha, filled with joy. And Rabbi Baruch Meshavitzer called that Nachman is Zei Nachameinu. And he said the Gemara, Tzadik Bola Olam, Taiva Bola Olam, that the tzadik has come to the world, the Gemara says, and all good is now coming to the world. And his mother, Fega, went over and called herself and says, Baruch Hu. Listen to this. She said, Baruch Hu. Give him a bracha that they shouldn't make machloikis against him. That's what she asked for, a bracha. Would you ever think of asking for such a bracha? So she asked, Baruch Hu, give him a bracha that they shouldn't give him a hard time. That there shouldn't be machloikis against him. And he said, Feigele, he said, that I can't do. There's already machlokes on him. And there's going to be machlokes on him. That I can't do. I can't prevent it from being machlokes. She was, as I said, such a Baal Shul HaKadosh that they used to, her brothers, the Degemach Nefroim, and the Rebbe Baruch Hu called her Feigele the Neviyasa. Feigele the Neviyah, the prophetess. So she saw that he came to the world in such a way, and she saw that in the future there was going to be machlokes. Rabbi Baruch Hu was going to help him out, but it wasn't so pashut there either. We'll talk about that in Mitzvah Shem. Rabbi Baruch Hu, as you all know, those who heard Rabbi Baruch Hu knows that he wasn't a pashut person at all. But he said, this I can't prevent. There's going to be machlokes against him. Although in the end, Rabbi Baruch Hu, of course, defended his nephew many times. But that's how Rabbi Nachman came to the world. The bitter machlokes that was going to be later on, we have time to talk about in Mitzvah Shem. Next week we're going to talk just about the early years, which also are amazing, the years of his childhood, which Rabbi Nachman himself told us about and told Rabbi Nosson about, and was recorded by Rabbi Nosson. And then we're going to learn the first Torah, and then we'll come back in Mitzvah Shem for the biography later on.